Okay, good evening, everyone. Okay, Parshas Va'era, we continue in our series working through a lot of the Torah shared by my Rosh Hashiva, Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht, who focused a lot on Medrash. One of the things that we learn as we learn Midrashim are the way that Chazal saw hints in the language of the Torah itself to deeper and other ideas, and how they wove those ideas together into the picture of what we're learning. So I want to share with you a Medrash tonight. It's really a Yerushalmi, a Gemara from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that inserts into the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim something which wouldn't necessarily fit, but then we see does fit, and will open up a entirely new understanding, I hope, of some of the ideas that we are familiar with. Let's start with a series of psukim. There are actually 5-6 psukim that come together, but they're all separate paragraphs in the Chumash, and let's learn through them and start with that. The story opens up this week after the Parsha opens up, I should say. After Moshe, at the end of last week's Parsha, we have this cliffhanger in which Moshe comes before Paro, and Paro says, not only am I not going to let them go, I'm going to make it harder on them. The people get angry. Moshe gets angry at Hashem, and Hashem says, oh, now you'll see my salvation. That enters our parsha, in which Hashem says, Va'era, the way that I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is not the way that I'm going to appear to you. You are going to see great things that they did not see. You're going to see the fulfillment of my promises. You're going to see my revelation. It's going to be amazing. He gives the prophecy to, the message to Moshe, the four languages of redemption, plus the fifth language. I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe tells the people, and that's where our psukim on our sheet begin. Vayidavir Moshe kein el b'nei Yisrael. Moshe repeats this nevuah of the message of redemption to the Jewish people. Now it's going to happen. Velo shamu el Moshe mikotze ruach umeavuda kasha. And they do not listen. They cannot hear the message mikotze ruach, from shortness of breath, umeavodah kasha, and from their overburdensome work. They literally cannot hear the message that Moshe is trying to give, a message of redemption, and they can't hear it. The Torah then says, there's a little pay, I left it, and there's a blank space in the Torah. So now what happens? Moshe just gave them the message, and they didn't listen to him. So vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor. So Hashem says to Moshe, gives him a new message. Bo daber el Paro melech Mitzrayim vishalachas b'nei Yisrael me'artzo. Okay, you go straight to Paro. People don't want to listen. You go talk to Paro. Tell him to send the people out from his land. Vayidaber Moshe lefnei Hashem. And Moshe now says, Paro, you want me to go to? Moshe says to Hashem, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. The people can't hear me. They won't listen to me. Ve'ech yishma'eini Paro. How can it possibly be that Paro's going to listen? Va'ani aral sefasayim, and I am sealed lips I have. I can't speak well. If we were focusing on these psukim, we would discuss, as the Ramban does, what's the connection in the psukim between Paro not listening and I have these sealed lips. But for our purposes, Moshe says, it's not going to work. The people didn't listen to me. Paro's not going to listen to me. So then we have another little blank space in the Chumash, and then a third Vayidaber Hashem, because he had the first message from the beginning of the parsha, then the message, go speak to Paro, and Hashem, Moshe says, I can't. So now we have Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon. Now Hashem adds Aharon into the picture. He speaks both to Moshe and to Aharon. Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, and he commands them about b'nei Yisrael, v'el Paro melech Mitzrayim, and about Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, lo'tzias b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Rashi notes, why do we have Aharon added here in Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk that we just read? Because Moshe said, I can't speak before Paro, I'm an Arel Svasayim, I have these sealed lips. So Hashem says, fine, Tzeref lo Kadosh Baruch Hu as Aharon. Aharon will be your mouthpiece. He will be your interpreter. No problem. But there is a fundamental problem here in Pasuk Yud Gimel, this last Pasuk that we read. There is a phrase that doesn't fit. Again, the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aharon, Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael v'el Paro melech Mitzrayim. What's the addition? There's a phrase there that doesn't fit, and that's the phrase of Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael. Why here do we have a command about or to B'nai Yisrael? All that he did is he added Aaron into the equation, and it should be a repeat of Pasuk Yud Aleph. In Pasuk Yud Aleph it says, Bo daber el Paro melech Mitzrayim. Go speak to Paro and send the people out. Why does the Pasuk here, when we introduce Aaron, we add something else as well? Vayitzaveim el B'nai Yisrael. What's that about? So Rashi says the word El can be interpreted in two ways. It could either be interpreted about the Jewish people or to the Jewish people. So Rashi says, well, it doesn't make sense that it should be to the Jewish people. Moshe and Aaron aren't talking to the Jewish people. They're going to Paro. So it must mean he commanded Moshe and Aaron about the Jewish people and to Paro to take the Jewish people out. What was he talking to the Jewish people, about the Jewish people about? Says Rashi here in source number 2. Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, tziva aleim lehanhigam b'nachas v'lisbol osam. He commanded Moshe and Aaron to lead the Jewish people b'nachas with calm, pleasantly, and to tolerate them. It's as if Rashi, the Medrash, Rashi's really quoting here, is picking up on Moshe had just said, these people, they won't even listen to me. I brought them a message of redemption. Velo shamu elai. So Hashem says, okay, Moshe and Aaron, you're going to be the leader of the Jewish people. You need a special command regarding the Jewish people as you go in to speak to Paro. You need to know, this message has reverberated through Jewish leadership throughout the centuries. You have to be a manhig binachas. You have to lead the Jewish people with calm. You have to be pleasant with them. You have to be able to tolerate them and all of the issues that go along with the wonderful, lovable Jewish people. But the leadership Moshe and Aaron is taught, and it's got to be with nachas, and you have to be able to be a savlan. You have to be patient. You have to be able to tolerate. What has Rashi in essence done? Rashi told us the pshat when Hashem here speaks to Moshe and Aaron, and the Torah adds a phrase that he commanded them, El B'nei Yisrael. It means he commanded them regarding the Jewish people. The main command is the same. Go to Paro and take the people out. But before you do so, you need to know something about the people. You got to lead them with patience and understanding. That's what Rashi understands. Now we get to our Medrash. The Yerushalmi sees in this phrase, Vayitzavem el b'nei Yisrael, in its more traditional interpretation of he commanded them to command to the Jewish people. Speak to the Jewish people and give them a command. Now, if you read the phrase that way, something's missing in the passing, and that is, what did he tell them? So, which is why Rashi doesn't like that. As far as Pshat goes, it must mean not to tell something to the Jewish people. It must be telling them about the Jewish people. But the Yerushalmi reads this as follows in source number 3: Vayitzavem el b'nei Yisrael. What did Hashem teach or command Moshe and Aaron to tell the Jewish people at this very moment before going into Paro and say, "Free the people"? Amar Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchok al matzivam. What did he command the Jews at this moment? Al parshas shiluach avadim. On the parsha of freeing Jewish slaves. There's a parsha in the Torah, we're going to get to it in 2 weeks' time, Parshas Mishpatim. 3 weeks' time, the opening mitzvah in Parshas Mishpatim is, Ki sikneh eved ivri, if you will acquire for yourself an eved ivri, a Jewish slave. So for 6 years, he works for you. And then what happens after the 6 years? L'chafshi yishalcham. You have to send him free at the end of the 6 years. Go teach the Jewish people that parsha right now. You think you're going to get to it in Parshas Mishpatim? Yes, that's when we're going to get to it in Parshas Mishpatim. But in Mitzrayim still, in Mitzrayim, before Moshe and Aaron, before you go to Paro and say, you need to free the people, you need to go to the people who are now slaves and don't have any slaves of their own, and teach them that there's going to be a concept called an Eved Ivri, and after 6 years, they go free. Where does the Yerushalmi get this idea that that's what the tzivoy, this missing phrase in the Torah, that's what you needed to command the Jewish people about? So the Yerushalmi connects it to a pasuk in Yirmiyoh. Say for Yirmiyoh, the Navi berates the Jewish people and says, you're going to go into exile, you're going to head into Golus. And the Navi says, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, it's the Haftorah. Anochi karisi brisis avoseichem, I established a covenant with your fathers, biyom hotzi osam meyaretz Mitzrayim. When I took them out of Mitzrayim, ibeis avadim lemor, miketz sheva shanim tishluchu ishe sachiv ha'ivri. At the end of the 7 years, every 7 years, you send free each person that's Jewish slave, asher yimacher lecha, that's been sold to you. The avadcha sheishanim, he serves for six. Shilachto chavshin me'imach, and you send him free. Velo shamu avoseichem elai. And they didn't listen to me. Velohi tu es oznam. They didn't turn their ears to me to fulfill this mitzvah. And therefore, that's why you're going to go into exile. So the Navi connects the exile to not setting free your avodim. But Yerushalmi says something about the Navi's words are a little odd. When did we learn about this mitzvah of sending free avodim? What, didn't that come in Parshas Mishpatim? Wasn't that after Har Sinai? But when does the Navi say that the bris in the pasuk is biyoyim hotzi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim? As if the Navi sort of saying, like on the day you left Mitzrayim, I taught you this mitzvah. Not according to the Chumash. So says the Medrash, that's what Yerushalmi's picking up on. Say, no, that phrase, when Hashem told Moshe and Aaron, Tzivam al b'nei Yisrael, let's go teach them that mitzvah. Teach them the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim, that every seventh year you have to send forth your Eved Ivri, and that needs to be taught at this very moment. Which, of course, leads us with the question, just one point of, again, when we get to Parshas Mishpatim, we'll, of course, talk about this more in depth. There are two ways in which a Jew can be sold as an Eved Ivri. One is if he's a thief, and he gets caught having stolen material, and he doesn't have the money to pay it back. He stole whatever it was that he stole, and now whatever it was, is he's spent it, it's gone, and he doesn't have the money. So we'll sell him as a slave to repay. He'll have to work off, so to speak, whatever it was that he stole, and until he can pay back, so to speak, through his work. That's one way that a Jew can sell himself. He's not selling himself, he's being sold as a slave. Or if a person is destitute, doesn't have any money, so he can sell himself as a worker. That's a lower level slave. He's not really a slave, he's just selling himself as a worker. And we're talking about that first category where a person became a thief, couldn't pay back, he's sold by the courts to pay back his debt. After 6 years, he goes free. That's the mitzvah of Eved Ivri that has to be taught now. Which, of course, again, leaves us with the question of, why now? Why is this the mitzvah that needs to be taught right now? So the first thought would be Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva from the Mir, who was actually born in the early 1900s, 1902. He died in 1979. He was involved in the Mir Yeshiva. He hit the Triple Crown. He was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva in Poland. He was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva in Shanghai when they escaped during the war. And he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim when the Yeshiva eventually made its way all the way to Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote, his students wrote up his shmuzin, the Musar shmuzin that he used to give every week on the Parsha. He actually gave it for a period of 3 years. And they wrote them up. And when a sefer is printed, it's called Sichos Musar. And he writes in there, in explaining why is this the time, he said, because a person integrates information when it's relevant to them. If you're learning about something that's not applicable to a person's life, it's much harder to internalize and really understand that which is being said. So right now the Jews are avodim, they're slaves in Mitzrayim. So now is the time to explain to them, you're one day, the tables are going to turn. And one day you will be a master. You one day will have slaves of your own. And now you need to know when you can feel and appreciate what it's like to be the slave, to be the Eved, the mitzvah, the Gemara says that the way that a Jew has to treat his Eved Ivri, he has to treat him in a way, as an example, the Gemara says, if you only have one pillow in the house, the Eved gets the pillow before you do. So much so that you have to treat him with so much better things than you yourself, that the Gemara says, Hakoina Eved, one who purchases an Eved, Koina Adom La'atzmo. It's as if you bought your own master. Because the Torah requires such care and sensitivity in the way that we treat the Eved Ivri, it's as if he's the master. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes, when is it appropriate to teach this mitzvah? When the Jew himself is enslaved in Mitzrayim, now is the time. Now is when we teach this mitzvah, and therefore, when the pasuk says to Moshe and Aaron, go to Paro and free this Jew, go teach the Jews also, teach them this mitzvah, even though it's not going to be applicable for another 54 years. They got 40 years in the desert, 14 years until they settle and conquer the land and divide it up. Then this mitzvah will finally kick in, but teach it to them now. They need to hear it at this point and really be able to appreciate it. The Rosh Hashiva of Goldbach would like to add, he quotes Reb Chaim Shulevitz, he wants to add a layer of understanding of why this is such a critical time to be teaching this mitzvah now, that you have to send forth your Eved at the end of the 6 years, why this is the most appropriate time for it to be taught in order for Moshe to be able to go to Paro. It starts with a Gemara in Kiddushin. It's an oft-quoted Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin. Part of this mitzvah, you know, as we're going to get to when we get to Parshas Mishpatim, is what if the Eved says after 6 years, he was sold as a slave because he had stolen and he couldn't pay back, and now he's in this person's house, and after 6 years he says, this is nice, I like it here. The family, they take care of me, my food, it's not bad, I want to stay. The Torah says, you're a free man, go. He says, I don't want to go. I want to remain here. So we all know. So the Torah says, fine, you can stay as an Eved. But there's a process that you have to go through. And that's the process known as Ritziah, in which we take the Eved's earlobe and we put it up against the doorpost, and they take an awl and they pierce a hole through the ear of the Eved, the Avadoli Olam. And then he becomes an Eved forever. Forever means until the next Yovel, up to 50 years. That's the process. If he says, Ahavti es Adoni, I love my master, I don't want to go free. This is what we do to him in order for him to become, then to remain, so to speak, as an Eved. So the Gemara finds this concept odd. Why is it that we do this? That we take his ear and we put it up against the post and we drive an awl down it through his ear as the sign that he wanted to remain as an Eved. So the Gemara darshens Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hayadoyer shes hamikra zekem min choymer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tried to give an explanation that we can understand it better. And he says as follows here in source number 5. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's with the ear? Why does the ear have to suffer this terrible punishment because he wants to remain a servant? What did the ear do wrong? So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you what the ear did wrong. The ear, which heard my voice, Hashem says, on Har Sinai, at the time that I said, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, to me, Hashem says, the Jewish people are servants. They're now slaves to me. To be an Eved Hashem is the greatest appellation you can give a Jew. He's an Eved Hashem. Hashem says, they're my Avadim. And this Jew who heard that on Har Sinai and heard, V'lo Avadim L'Avadim, you're not slaves to slaves. You're not servants to other servants. You're servants to me. So this Jew who heard that on Har Sinai, and he goes ahead and acquires a master for himself. He's a free man. And he says, I want to stay. I like being a servant. Such a Jew whose ear heard, I'm a slave, a servant only to Hashem. And he made himself a servant to another person. He should have his ear pierced because the ear that heard, I'm a servant only to Hashem, went ahead and found himself another servant, a master. He should have his ear pierced. So says the Gemara Maseches Kedushin, name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's why the ear is the organ that gets pierced, the ear that heard this. A couple of questions we have to ask on such a Gemara. Number one, the bigger of the two questions is, if that's the case, that the ear that heard on Har Sinai, this big thing that you're a servant only to Hashem, why don't we say that by every mitzvah? Why don't we say, a Jew who wears shatnez, we should say, let's pierce his ear. The ear which heard on Har Sinai, don't wear shatnez, went ahead and wore shatnez. The ear which heard, keep my Shabbos, and went ahead and didn't keep Shabbos, that ear should be pierced. My high, what's the deal? That only when it comes to this Eved Ivri who doesn't want to go free, there we say, the ear which heard on Har Sinai, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, the ear heard lots of things on Har Sinai. Why is this the only one that the ear, so to speak, has to suffer this punishment? Second of all, Svasemis asks a question. He says, if this is really the idea behind the piercing of the ear, he says, what a funny thing. When do we pierce the slave's ear? Only after 6 years of servitude, when he says, I want to stay. What about the Jew who willingly sold himself? This Jew is the guy who gets his ear pierced, is the one who was sold by Basin because he was a thief. But there's a whole other category of Jewish servant, and that's the one who just decided on his own. He was down on his luck. He didn't have enough money. He thought this would be a nice way to earn a living. So he sold himself as a servant. We don't pierce his ear on day one and say, how dare you sell yourself as a servant? The ear which heard on Har Sinai, you are servants to me. We don't do that. We only do it for this other guy who was sold as a thief. And then 6 years later, when he chooses to stay, then we do it. Why don't we do it for everybody when he first makes that decision? Rosh Hashiva used to explain that the idea, we touched upon this a little bit when we spoke about Eliezer, Eved Avram, Eliezer, the servant of Hashem, that there's a certain concept of what avdus, what it means to be a servant. Again, the highest level that a Jew can reach is to be called Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, is called Moshe Eved Hashem. What a level to achieve to be a servant of Hashem. Avdus is the sense of giving yourself over to something. So to give ourselves over to Hashem is the greatest level. But to give ourselves over to another human being, to so to speak, take what is the most valuable to us, which is our das, our level of understanding, our freedom, and to give that to someone else to be in charge of. Because what it means to be an Eved is that means the Adam, the master, has the freedom to choose to tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, so that your free will is removed from all of those decisions. And therefore, when one's behaviors in life is not based on one's own decisions, but on someone else's, that's the lack of the greatest thing which we have, which is a cheirus hadas, the freedom of our own das. It's a certain bialus, a certain ownership of our own life. We've seen throughout Jewish history, even when a Jew has been in the darkest of places, and this is our stories, our histories are filled with the stories of whether it be in the Russian Gulag or throughout the terrible trials of Holocaust, concentration camps, Inquisition, you name it. The Jew has been in ridiculous, unspeakable, unfathomable circumstances, but has the chayrus, the freedom or the bialus of one's mind to act in whatever environment they can. There are certain things you can never take away from a person. There are certain choices, there are certain freedoms, even when the body is shackled. But an eved has given over that, and someone else is going to be in charge of that. And that is why it's such a bad place, so to speak, to be in. When we explain the relevance that Chazal focused on when they talk about this concept of the ear, they talk about the ear that heard on Har Sinai this message. How can that ear go ahead and take for himself a different master other than Hashem? There's a question that can be asked. It's a not practical question, obviously, but if a person were to be posed such a question, and these types of questions are like painful realities, but if a person was faced with a choice of, we have a number of different faculties. We have the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to smell, to feel, and to touch. If there was a choice, if a person could have the ability or were to lose the ability to see or the ability to hear, which one would be a more difficult loss? Or which one, if you could only have one, which would you choose to maintain? The ability to see or the ability to hear? It's an interesting philosophical debate. It's one of those conversations you can have around the Shabbos table where people would have all sorts of different understandings for good reason. And there are obviously pros and cons to both, whether or not one had their faculty of sight or they had the faculty of being able to hear. And that's from a perspective, if we looked at it from being involved in society, there are different ways in terms of how each one of those different faculties plays in and allows one to participate in society. From a spiritual perspective, if we were to look at that question, the two faculties of sight versus the ability to hear, and to say, from a spiritual perspective, which one is the most valuable faculty that we have, I want to share a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, who wrote the Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is the book on the concept of tshuva, It's rumored that he wrote it in response to when the Rambam wrote his Mor Nevuchim. So there was a great upheaval. People felt that it was an inappropriate work. Rabbeinu Yonah was one of those who led the charge against the Rambam's work, and then eventually, in his own personal repentance that he felt he needed to do against the Rambam's work, wrote the Sefer Shaarei Teshuvah, which is still studied until today as the primary work of an Elul, of getting ready for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and really all year round. He writes as follows. V'chein amru chazal, the Chachamim said as follows, ki ha'ozen nichbad mishar ha'ivarim. Out of all of our faculties, the ear is the most honored, literally, the most dear and precious faculty that we have the ability to hear. And he brings a source from the Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Kamma talks about damages. If a person damages somebody else, of course, there are payments that need to be made. If a person damages a person's arm, so we figure out the value of the arm and what it was allowed the person to do for work, and you pay. The person who does the damage has to pay for the value. If you break a person's leg, all the different things that can happen, we figure out the monetary equivalent that a person has to pay. So the Gemara says, imsimes eino, if a person blinded somebody, they did something with a whatever it was they did, they caused the person to go blind, so we have to figure out the value that they have to pay. How much value do they pay? So the Gemara says, Nasan lo demei eino. We figure out the value of what does it mean to be able to see. And however we figure that out, a person who can see, what's their worth or their value, and a person who can't see, and that's the value that you're going to have to pay, the value of the person's eyesight. However, harsha, let's say you made a person deaf. So the Gemara says, Nasan lo demei kulo. You have to give the person's value for his entire as if you killed the person. So making a person blind, we put a value on eyesight. Whatever the, if you make a person deaf, we don't put a value on hearing. Making a person deaf, the Gemara says, you would pay the entire full value as if you took their life. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, why should that be that the Gemara should say that we don't just deal with hearing in the same way that we would deal with anything else? The value of your arm, the value of your legs, the value of your eyesight. No. The ability to hear is demei kulo. The entire person is in that value. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, v'hein ha'odem chayiv la'avodes Hashem yizbaruch be'ivar. We are obligated to serve Hashem with all of the faculties that Hashem gave us. V'yitzur of kulom ki la'avodesoy. Hashem created them in order to serve Him. So then he goes through, and what is the purpose? Each one of our faculties serves a specific purpose in our ability to serve Hashem. What is the ozen? What does it do? The ozen, the ear, hears rebuke. When we stray from the life that we want to live, so what will put us back on the path that we really know that we need to be on? It's the words of Musar that we hear that somebody can give us. Those words, Dvarim Hayotzin Min Halev Nichnasin El Halev. When someone speaks from the heart, it enters into our being and it touches our heart. If you're Amru Rabu Seinuzal, Nafal Adam Min Agag V'Nishbaro Ivarav. The parable that the sages give, a person who falls from a roof and he breaks a leg, tzarech ritiyo v'tachboishes al kol eivor v'meivor v'yetzem me'atzama. So he, whatever he breaks, he'll need a bandage for or a cure for whatever it was that was damaged. So if you've broken an arm, you need a bandage for your arm, a leg you need for your leg. In their parable, v'hachote asher chata b'chol eivorav, a person who is a sinner, who has therefore through that, with his entire being, fallen into the path of sin, v'nechshav ki'ilu rav samako be'ivorav kulam, as if his entire body is now hurt or pained or damaged, mikaf raglo v'adkar, from the bottoms of his feet to the tips of his head, there's a special medicinal cure that Hashem has for the entire body. Sometimes you need for your arms. What if you need for your whole body? How do you cure an entire body at once? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Hashem has a special cure for the entire body. V'hi shmias ha'ozen. The ability of the ear to hear. Shene'emar, hitu aznechem, turn your ear, ulechu elai, and come to me, v'shimu, utechi nafshechem, and you will live when you hear my words. There is something about the spoken word, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that has an ability to penetrate a Jew's heart more than anything else. And we've experienced when you a heart-to-heart conversation, there's something in writing, and this is one of the problems that we have in our day and age, where so much is communicated with text and email and WhatsApp and you name it, it lacks the most primary form that we have of communication, which is from one person to another, where words come out of one's mouth and enters one's ear, and through that, it's a different form of communication. It's a different way of connection. This is why, as an example, when Hashem speaks to Moshe, what's the unique element of Moshe's nevuah? Moshe's nevuah is peh el peh adav birbo. I speak to Moshe mouth to mouth. Every other Navi was bichida, was in a vision. It's not a communication of words. There was a vision that they would have, and they would have to interpret the vision. That's using eyesight to see something, which is a different form of communication than when it comes directly peh el peh adaber, in the way that Hashem speaks to Moshe. Which is the same reason when Hashem speaks to us at Har Sinai, it's kol dvorim atem shomim. You heard my voice. There was a sound that was able to be heard, and that we're many mafarshim explain when you hear something. When you hear something, as opposed to when you see it, you could see the whole thing in once. You see the flash of the vision. When you hear something, you can only hear something a little bit at a time, a phrase at a time, a letter at a time, a word at a time. And then the listener has to take it all in, hold it, process it, interpret it, understand it. I got it. Because I can only do it a little bit at a time. I could see something. I saw the whole thing. Did you get it? I don't know. I saw it. But the way that we interpret information as we hear it, it becomes a part of who we are in a different way as we process that information, which is, of course, why we begin the most famous pasuk in all of Chumash with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. However we want to interpret that phrase, Shema, it's something that you need to take in and hear, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, so that the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, he's not even talking about our issue of the Eved, who's getting his ear pierced. The idea of the Ozen, the idea of the ear, to be able to hear something, to hear a life-altering message. When you get that message, when you hear it from somebody, it can have an impact in a way that's different than a written word or any other form of communication when it comes with. Have a face-to-face, speak to each other, talk to each other. It's a deeper, more connecting form of communication. So much so that Rabbeinu Yonah, who's finishing his idea, says, if you take that away from somebody, if you take away a person's eyesight, so we put a value on a person's eyesight. If you take away a person's ability to use their arms or legs, we put a value on what damage did you do. If you take away their ability to hear, it's as if you took away their entire ability to spiritually get off of a path that they're on and put themselves on a better path, which is what we all need every day. That's our life is about that goal. And if you take that away from somebody, well, they'll never hear the spoken word again. You have to pay demei kulo. You have to pay the entire value of that person because you took away from them that cheirus adas, that freedom of being able to hear and make changes and to come to new understandings. All of that comes about through the ability to hear. And when you've taken that away, that's demei kulo. That becomes yet the value of the entirety of the person's being. You go back to the Gemara, Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara says, why is it the ear that gets pierced when a person says, I want to be a slave? What is it about the ear heard many things. The ear heard, ki avad, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. The Jewish people are servants to Hashem and to Hashem alone. And the ear that heard that, the organ that we have, the faculty to be able to hear that, then said, I want to give away my freedom. I want to be under someone else's jurisdiction, someone else who's going to tell me what to do. The ear that heard that, that's supposed to be the faculty of the greatest freedom to choose to live, to grow, to reflect that, you took that ear and then said, I want to give that away to somebody else. I want to have somebody else as my master, somebody else control who I am and what I do. The ear that heard Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, that ear has to be the one that suffers this punishment, so to speak, of being pierced at the doorway to become an Eved. Sfas Emes asks, why only when he wants to be at the end of the 6 years? Why not if any Jew who sells himself just because he's in hard times? So the Rosh Yeshiva explained it based on the Sfas Emes, because when it's a 6 year temporary thing, so even as you're working, but you know there's an end to this. So in the same way as we mentioned before, Jews have been in terribly difficult times. There's going to be an end. There's going to be a light at the end of this tunnel. A 6 year term, I'm not giving away everything who I am, because even as I'm working now, but I know there's a time. But when I say at the end of the 6 years, I like this and I want to be an Eved forever, I want to give away looking forward to freedom. I want to give away ever having that as my goal. That's when we say, hope? You're giving away that hope, that quest for freedom. You have no interest in that. At that point, the ear is pierced. The ozen that gave that away needs to be pierced. The first time, okay, you're in hard times. We can accept that a Jew falls into hard times and he needs to make some money. He doesn't know what to do. That's one thing. But to say after 6 years, I like this and I want this forever, that's when we say that ozen is not allowed, can't possibly have that. And that brings us back to what precipitated this entire conversation back to the top of our source. Moshe comes to the Jewish people with a message of redemption. Hashem said to him at the beginning of our parsha, the four languages of redemption, a fifth language of, I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to see things that have never been seen before. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never saw my revelation in the way that you're about to. And how do the people react to this message of an unprecedented revelation that even Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never had? Four languages of redemption. How do they react? V'lo shamu el Moshe mikotze ruach umeavoda kasha. They can't hear him. They don't hear the message mikotze ruach. When Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro, and Hashem says, but Bnei Yisrael don't even listen to me. Eich yishme'eni paro. This is not a message that anyone can hear. At that point, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe ve'al Aaron vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael. Hashem says, okay, I'll add Aaron, and now I'm going to add something else. Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael. Before you go to Paro, you go give the Jewish people a command. So Rashi again said, oh, it must mean about the Jewish people, to treat them with patience and tolerance. Yerushalmi says, no. Before you go to Paro, I need to add something. Because you just pointed out, Moshe, you just said, V'lo shamu mikotzer ruach. They can't hear. I'm giving them a message and they can't hear it. Says Yerushalmi, Hashem says, Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael. You need to teach the Jewish people something first. Go teach them shiluach avadim. Go teach them about sending forth the Eved after 6 years. So on top of the message, as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz learned, this is the time to teach them. Now they'll appreciate sending forth an Eved, a servant, to be free. Says the Rosh Yeshiva, it's more than that. It's in addition to that, they need to learn, they need to go free. After 6 years, you have to go free. You may not stay. And if you think you want to stay, we're going to pierce that ear. Because the ear, which needs to hear on Har Sinai, we're not talking still before Har Sinai, but the ear which needs to hear, you are my servants. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. You can't give yourself over to someone else. And if you are at a point now where you can't hear, even before you got to having your ear pierced, you can't hear the messages. You're not ready to become free people. So before Moshe is going to go to Paro and say, free the people, if Yerushalmi is learning, you need to give the same message to the people themselves. You need to be free. I can't go to Paro and say to free the people if you're still not able to hear, which is the symbol of chayrus, of freedom, of you're my servants. I'm about to take you out to be able to have the freedom to serve me, but you have to be able to get there. And right now you can't. You can't hear. So I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you the mitzvah of shiluach avadim. I'm going to teach you the mitzvah of freedom. Teach you the mitzvah of the brilliance, the requirements of what it means to be a ben chorah, to be a free person, to choose your own destiny, because you need to be able to hear this message. And it's the ozen which takes that in, and the ozen which right now can't hear. And therefore, the Yerushalmi sees in this phrase, Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, this idea, go teach them about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaVadim, which they need to hear now, so that we can get ready for Yetzias Mitzrayim, to be able to begin the process of shifting out of Avdus, out of servitude, who can't hear, to a message where we can. With the eternal message to us, to be able to hear this message of the Lo Shamu El Moshe, they can't hear, is a message which we all have to deal with. The ability to hear information, to want to be able to listen, because so often what's being said is we may not want to hear, but to be able to hear and to recognize that faculty that we have, the power of that particular faculty to integrate into our lives ideas, changes, new ideas, all come from that, and that is one of the greatest, according to the Gemara, the greatest faculty that we have to integrate that new information, so that we should always get out of Velo Shamu El Moshe to Vishamu El Divrei Moshe, the living words of Moshe Rabbeinu, always to be able to hear and move forward. Those are some of the thoughts based on the Rosh Hashiva. Pleasure always learning with you on a Thursday night. I wish